Hey, we had a whole different service plan for the weekend. We're in a series called Real Church, Real World, and everything had been programmed. But when the tsunami and the earthquake hit, our leaders got together and we thought, you know what, we need to stop everything. There's sometimes, folks, that we need to just put a pause on what we've planned and kind of go with God a little bit here. And so tonight we're going to just take a little change up in the message. You won't hear any jokes, and so if you want to write me an email, go ahead and start now, that there's no jokes in this message. I want to start talking about something that it may be on our minds, it may not be on yours, but when we face situations like this where there is a devastating earthquake and a tsunami and a scare here in the islands, you got to stop and think. You cannot move on with life until you take a little bit of time to just reflect as to what's really going on here. I've been following the news, and I just can't get away from it. Although I'm not Japanese, I don't have any family members there. I do have friends connected with the church in New Hope. I've been watching everything that's going on there. And you cannot help but stop and pause and spend a little bit of time to just reflect what God is doing. I mean, without a doubt, to see what has gone on there, to see what has already happened, shows me at least one thing, and that is the power in our God. We say God is omnipotent, but what does that mean? It means God is all-powerful. And we can say those phrases, but it's not until we see how powerful He is that it really starts to make sense in our minds. What doesn't make sense, however, is a question that I think we all have at one time or another. It's a question that has plagued man's mind for centuries. It's the number one question that George Barna, who does a lot of research on Christianity and Christians, it's the number one question that a majority of people have, a question that they want to ask God if they ever could. You know what that question is? Why is there so much destruction in the world? That if God is such a loving God, if God is such a caring God, then why does He just stand on the sidelines while these things are happening? While a tsunami, with the strength that it was for Japan, and even here in a sense, why does He allow that to just wash through the island and to take away people's hopes, homes, and lives? See, if you're an atheist, it doesn't matter to you. Because atheists thinks that everything that you see around you is a cosmic coincidence, things that just happen. But if you're a Christian, and you believe in an all-powerful God, an all-knowing God, an all-loving God, then you can't help but stop and wonder to yourself, if He's an all-knowing God, then He would have known about this tsunami. He would have known about this earthquake before it happened, right? If He's an all-loving God, then how can He allow children? We don't know how many people have been swept away. I think the last count I saw was about 680. They expect the count to go up to 1,800. I got a call from Pastor Wayne. He contacted some of our pastors there. They believe that there's about 9,000 who are unaccounted for right now. We don't know the extent of this destruction. But if He's a loving God, why do these things happen? Why does this loving God just sit on the sideline? Where is God in all of this? And it's a question that I think people wonder, and I know I do sometimes. But we're not real with ourselves when we ask that question. Because I think we've got to ask ourselves, or dig down a little deeper. And if you find yourself asking this, so God, where are You in all this? You know, in my private kind of a life, in my world, maybe it's not a tsunami or a flood of water, but there is an inundation of problems. And I think it's easy if it's like a 9/11 situation where you have two men who overpower some pilots and they fly in airlines into a building and many, many innocent people pass away. I think it's a little easier to explain that one away. Because God will not control man's ability to make his own choice. And you know, man was responsible. But when it comes to a natural disaster, a shifting of the earth's crust, where fault lines are in friction with one another, where there's a sudden drop which allows the water then and the ocean to just rise and tsunamis to start hitting not only Japan, but all the way across, all the way to South America. How do you explain that? How do you explain that? A little more difficult to explain. I think when we ask, so God, so where are you in all of this stuff? Where were you when all of these things took place? I think sometimes we got to ask ourselves, why do we need to know where God was? I think we ask the question. I think we feel like we need to know. Because when we come face to face with disasters, I think we come face to face with our humanness of the way that we think. We come face to face with the finite thinking that goes on in our minds. That's just how we're wired. See, to us as humans, life has to make sense, right? When things don't make sense, when a husband that you've loved your whole life and you've cared for and you've done everything suddenly walks out of your home and leaves you with nothing, it doesn't make sense. And we don't like it when life doesn't make sense. And so when natural disasters happen and we see and we worship and we talk about this loving God, it doesn't make sense. Things don't add up and we feel very challenged by that. It's because we have a finite way of thinking. We want things to make sense. That's why when we go to the movies, we don't like to be late, do we? When you got kids, you want to get your kids in order and into the movie theater so you can get your popcorn and you can get your drink and you can sit there while they run the commercials because you don't want to be late. You want to see what? The beginning of the movie. We think very finitely. Movies are all about a beginning and an ending. If there's a beginning and for some reason we got to take our child to the bathroom right about the ending, what do we tell them? Hold it. Right? I want to see the ending. I don't want to miss the ending because we're very finite in the way that we think. The problem happens when we begin to apply that kind of logic. The finite logic that we have in our minds to a God who is an infinite God. And we try to make sense of things that just don't seem to make sense. See, here's a problem in all of that. When we begin to think in our minds, we always think in terms of logic. We think in terms of if, then. So if these things happen, then this happens. If we're good, then we'll be blessed. If we sinned, then we will get cursed. That's how we think. If God is a good God, then there should not be any of these kind of destructions, right? We think like that. That's why when things happen that is out of whack, it makes us a little confused. It makes us frustrated. The problem when we try to apply our human logic into making sense of God, it raises up this, I call it an absurdity. Because if you're trying to make sense out of God, you got to ask yourself this question. Who defines what making sense is? Who am I to define what is making sense to a God who is way beyond me? Who am I with my finite logical mind? Who am I to define what makes sense to a God who is infinite and beyond my human comprehension? See, sometimes we want to try to get God to make sense, don't we? But how can we as finite beings even think that we can define an infinite God? Especially when it comes to natural disasters. In the book of Luke, chapter 8, the disciples were with the Lord. They had done some ministry, got into a boat with him, sailed across the lake. In the midst of their journey across the lake, a storm brewed, a natural disaster took place. It was blowing, it was rocking and rolling. Where was Jesus? Fast asleep. The disciples panic. They turn to him and they're trying to wake him up. I'm going to show you this scripture. It comes up on PowerPoint. I want you to read this with me. Let's see what happened here. Read that. Ready? Go. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked the disciples. "Where is your faith?" he said in the midst of a storm. "Where is your faith?" he said in the midst of a tsunami, in the midst of an earthquake. You know what he was saying to them? Why were they panicking? Why were they getting so upset that they had to wake him from being sound asleep? Why were they in a state of panic? You know why? Because it didn't make sense to them. Jesus was in the boat. And if Jesus is with me in my boat, life should be a smooth sailing. There should not be any hiccups in my road because Jesus is in my boat. You know, folks, the realities of life is not like that at all. Ever since Adam sinned and he fell in the garden, life has been full of uncertainties. The reality of life, folks, it's not a smooth sailing. We're going to face those times again and again and again. And this is what Jesus is saying. This is what Jesus was asking his disciples. Where is your faith? Is your faith found in the calm oceans of life? Are you going to praise me even in a storm? Is your faith found only when things make sense to you? Are you going to praise me even though it doesn't make sense? Where's your faith? See, the danger is when we try to make sense of what he's doing. When we do that, we run the risk of creating God into our image rather than us being created in his image. We run the risk of weakening this God to the level of the power that we think we can understand. See, if we don't understand what he's doing, then he must not be God. Or he must not be a loving God. Or he must not be a caring God. And we reduce his size to what we can understand and what we can handle. And God says, that's not who I am. See, when we try to make sense out of God, then every plan that he has, everything that happens on this earth, has to meet our approval first before we say, oh yeah, he is our God. And God says, that's not me. That's not who I am. Look at what he says in Psalms 93. Psalm 93 says this. The seas have lifted up, Lord. The seas have lifted up their pounding waves, mightier than the thunder of the great waters, mightier than the breakers of the sea. The Lord on high is mighty. God is mighty. God is all powerful, whether you understand him or not. God is a great God whether he makes sense to you or not. See, God is. When I look at all that's been going on in the news, when I look at all the reports, when I see what's happening in the media, I come to one conclusion, that God is. What is he? He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He is sovereign. He is infinite. God does not need our approval. He does not need us to understand what he's doing for him to be God. God is. And he says this to us in Psalm 46. Come up here on PowerPoint. It says, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, The Lord Almighty is with us. Come and see what the Lord has done. The desolations He has brought on the earth. He says, read that with me, ready? Go. Be still and know that I am God. You know what He's saying? Be still. He says, don't try and figure me out. Be still. Ask me the questions, He says. I think this is good. I think He wants us to ask Him these questions. Why? Because the more we ask Him these questions, the more we discover that He is. And He says, ask me the questions, but in the end, when all is said and done, be still. I got it. Yes. Oh, but Lord, you know what? No. I got it. But Lord, I don't understand. You don't need to understand. There's some things going on right now that you really don't need to understand. Just be still and know that I am. Hard to do, huh? See, we want explanations. We want to know why. We want to know answers. We want to make sense out of everything. But you know, when you want to make sense out of anything, take a look at the news. Go home again, folks, tonight. Go look at the news reports and tell me what you see. When I watch how that tsunami kind of swept across Sendai, when that 30-foot swell, and those of you who are surfers, you kind of know, you can see a swell. That was a beautiful line in the ocean. But it kept rolling and rolling and rolling and rolling. And once it hit the shoreline, it just went on forever and ever and ever. And every single house that was in its way, every single car, every single semi-tractor trailer truck, every train, you know what it looked like? A piece of toy, didn't it? Everything that man had built and created and claimed ownership in and valued it as a thing of beauty in their hands and their art became such a frail little object compared to the power of God. There was nothing that man could have made that would have stopped that tsunami. And you look at that, and you got to think, man, this God is real. It's a powerful God. And man, we're frail. We're nothing. What this whole experience has done for me is it sat me down, and I cannot help but have a deeper reverence and awe of this God that we worship. Now you might think, well, why the destruction? I don't know why. And I don't think we'll ever figure that one out. And maybe God is saying, you don't need to know why. Just know that I am. That I'm sovereign. There needs to be no justification for my sovereignty. There needs to be no reason why, in your finite and frail mind, why you have to question a God that is more powerful than you. See, to us, life is more about logic than it is about faith. Isn't that right? I mean, just be honest with yourself. We say to be faithful, but life is more about logic than about faith. We walk by sight, not by faith, do we? That's why the Lord commands us, no, walk by faith and not by sight. Why? Because we walk by sight more than faith. The things that we see causes us to spin our minds to try and make sense of it, and only if it makes sense, then we believe. If God makes sense, then I'll believe Him. If it doesn't make sense, I'm not going to believe in that kind of God. But God says, no. With me, there is no justification. There is no reasoning. You won't be able to figure it out. See, God is God. Catch this now. Very sounds deep, but it's very simple. He is God whether you believe it or not. He will continue to be God whether you like it or not. He is God. Job tried to figure Him out, didn't he? If anybody who had natural disasters happening to him is a man called Job, go read his story. He deserved none of this. But yet God took everything away from him. In the end, while trying to figure out God, look at what he says to God. Come up here on a PowerPoint. Job 42. Job says this, I know that you can do anything and no one can stop you. And you asked, who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorance? It is I, says Job, and I was talking about things I knew nothing about, things far too wonderful for me. See, sometimes, folks, when we ask God questions, it's okay to ask God questions. I'm going to encourage you to ask God questions. But in the end, you're going to find out that you were talking about nothing you knew anything about. Because God is so beyond us. God is. But God also understands. And God also cares. No matter what you've seen, no matter how destructive these forces have been, God understands. See, we don't understand everything about life. God does. We won't understand everything there is to understand about tomorrow and the next day, but God already knows. How do I know that? He knows the end from the beginning. Everything that we will experience, God has already experienced it. God has already been there. God has already done that. He knows the victories that you will experience. He knows the defeats. He knows the pains. He knows the frustrations all before you experience it. And He understands. And He cares. How do I know that? Hebrews 4 says this. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So we may receive grace, mercy, and find grace to help in time of need. See, a lot of times it's hard for us to understand God's eternal purpose in everything around us. But we got to believe that everything that happens on earth, He is in control. And there are times that He's going to reveal just a little bit about His plans to give us a little bit of understanding. Don't think that just by revealing a little bit about Himself that we get to understand everything about God. You won't be able to understand Him. Amen. And the things that we don't understand, you know what Hebrews just said? He will give us grace. He'll say, you don't need to understand. That's okay. Just stick with me now. That's okay. You're not going to understand everything, but just stick with me. That's grace. You take a look, folks. Turn on the news. Listen to how these guys are analyzing this earthquake. Scientifically, they're running all kinds of tests. They're running all kinds of measurements. This is like a once in a, I don't know how many years that this takes place. A Pacific-wide tsunami. That tsunami traveled from Japan all the way down to South America. That is huge. Although we didn't get hit like with a 30, foot tsunami like Hilo did way back in 1940, 1960, it was still strong enough to reach all the way down to the South America. You know what they're saying now? They're saying we are now going to get the reverberations, the bounce back from the West Coast. You know that? That tsunami was so strong, it went all the way across. Now it's bouncing off of South America, and it's on its way back. It's not going to hit us that strong, but the effects of that wave is tremendous. Scientists just found, in fact, right before I came here for service, they measured the quake. They measured the fault, where it shifted and it moved. This shift picked up the entire nation of Japan and moved it 8 feet closer to the United States. That's what happened. They have GPS settings all on the ocean floor, and by their measurements, this quake shifted Japan 8 feet closer to the United States. That's how powerful this baby was. And who's in control of all of that? God's not powerful? God's not strong? When I look at all of that, folks, when I look at, do you guys follow one of the news stations where they had a camera on Diamond Head and little beachfront there? and the water receded like over 100 yards out, and it left the reef bare, dry, and then it would come in again, and then it would go out, and it was like just dry, dry, dry. You've never seen that ever before. You know what I thought when I saw that? I thought of the Red Sea. How do you think God parted the Red Sea and allowed the Israelites to cross on dry land? Man, it must have been a tsunami back then or something, because that was dry as could be. And I thought, you know, God, you're showing us all of this devastation, the power of the tsunami, the fact that you can move a country 8 feet in one snap of your finger. I think, wow, God, that's huge. But you know what the Lord reminded me? That compared to the creation of the universe, man, I'm showing you just a slice of who I am. And God shows us all of that stuff. And the things that we don't understand, Hebrews says, I'm going to give you grace. Now here's the grace part, folks. After experiencing all that we just did, and all that we're seeing and we're reading about, and the fact that tsunami did not wash up on our shores, and the fact that we can come and worship tonight and live and survive, that's grace. People say, oh, no, it was just another false alarm. You know, that Chilean one, and they ring all the sirens and what, for nothing. And, you know, people walking down on the ocean front when they're supposed to be, you know, hiding out somewhere. And they say, ah, oh, it's just a minor thing. Why are they making a big deal out of nothing? Folks, no, that was grace. Now, the fact that God allowed grace to fall upon these islands, let me ask you this question. What are you doing about that? How is your life different today because of what you just experienced? You know these civil defense guys, first responders? I know that they will be debriefing this event. They'll be having meetings to go over their plans, communication lines, what can we do better? After this event, they want to make themselves better in the event the next one hits. Us, general public, after we sort of, and some people say, dodge the bullet, what do? Go down to the mall, we go back to the ball game, we kind of live our lives, and like nothing happened. Yeah, it's funny, yeah? It's funny when a disaster happens, everybody goes, oh God, where were you in all of this? But when He gives us grace for free, do we ever say, oh God, thank you for the grace? Do we give Him the attention and the honor and the respect that He deserves because of the grace that we just received? And let me ask you tonight, after all that you've been through, all that you've seen, will your life be any different? You know, folks, I would hope that it is. That you see that there is an all-powerful God, a God that is omnipotent, yet a God who is gracious enough to give us one more day to live. You know, how will we live differently? Christ may be asking us right now, so where is your faith? Where is your faith? You know, we may not know why disasters happen and why there are hard times that we got to go through, but we do know this. I know that God is good all the time. Amen? I know that God is in control even in the worst of times. See, it's easy to say God is in control of the weather when it's sunny outside and there's surf and, you know, people aren't getting hurt. But can you say that God is in control of a tsunami? It's easy to say, oh, God is in control when a person is miraculously saved from a devastating wave. But can we also say God is in control when a baby is swept away from the arms of a mom? You know, if you're going to believe that God is, you got to agree that God is in control of everything. And I believe that. I won't be able to explain it all, but I believe that He is. And I believe that He still loves, and I believe that He still cares, and I believe that He still understands. Where was God in all of this? God is right there, man. He was right there with that mom clinging on to that child that probably drowned in a tsunami. God was right there when that older and elderly gentleman was huddled up in a corner not knowing where he's going to get his next food. God was right there with families that were broken up. See, that's who my God is. What about you? In all of this, we have a God. It's a powerful God, but he's a good God. And I would hope and pray, it's my prayer for all of us, is that he becomes this God that the psalmist talks about. Let me refer you to the last psalm here, scripture. Would you read this with me? Ready? Go. Whom have I in heaven but you? And besides you, I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and portion forever. My prayer is that that God is your God. Amen. We're going to take a special offering for the churches in Japan. If the ushers would go ahead and come down. We want to help out our brothers and sisters there as much as we can. Now, please don't feel obligated. If you are struggling with some means, that's fine. But if you have a desire to give, please know that we'll be sending it up to Pastor Talo, who oversees our New Hope Tokyo, as well as New Hope International, the Asia chapter of New Hope International. And the funds will be distributed to other churches that are in need of help, families who are in need of help. There'll be some community projects that they're going to do. That whole entire area needs to be restored. And so these offerings that are collected will be used for that purpose. Pastor Bernie Fetterman from Lompoc, Foursquare, he wrote to me this afternoon. He said they're going to take a special offering as well. Send it to us. We'll put it all together and we'll ship it up to Talo. But give if you can. Most of all, would you just keep praying for those that are in Japan? Let me pray for the offering and then we can conclude. Father God, thank you for, again, who you are and reminding us about the power that is resident within you. Thank you, Father, for the reality of who you are. You're not just someone that we talk about or sing to. You are a real God in a real world, but a God that also cares and is concerned, a God that is faithful. May we be faithful to you in return. And that as we give of these offerings, Father, we pray that you will bless and multiply it. So not only will the country be restored, but that hearts will be open to you. So, Father, would you receive these gifts, bless it and multiply it for your ministry, for your glory, in Jesus' name.